Imagine cheating taxpayers out of millions and millions of dollars, and at the same time deliberately misdiagnosing hundreds of patients just for the purposes of stealing. Unfortunately, such people are out there, but there's one less now, thanks to the efforts of my next guest. Brian Drake is a special agent on the FBI's Dr. Fatah investigative team and a finalist in this year's Service to America medals, and he joins me now. Brian, good to have you on.
Oh, great to be here, Tom. Thank you.
Tell us about this case. First of all, what did this doctor do, and how did he do it?
Wow, that's a big question, because this doctor did many things. He purposely misdiagnosed patients with cancer who did not have it. He gave people who did have cancer the wrong therapies. He gave people medications that they didn't need, like, for instance, for people with low iron levels, or at least he told them they had low iron levels, he gave them very expensive infusion treatments. Like the drug Ferraheme, which is a very expensive drug, and he gave it to people who did not have low iron. He would give people blood tests or drain their blood, a phlebotomy, so that they would become iron deficient so that he could actually give them the Ferraheme. So he was making people iron deficient so he could actually do the procedure when they didn't need their blood taken and they didn't need the drug in the first place. And he did that for many other drugs, anti-nausea medications, white blood cell boosters, many different things. And he did that to line his pockets.
He sounds almost like a witch doctor.
Yes, and there was many a time that we had heard from employees and from patients that he did say that, you know, God is working through me to heal you, when, you know, he was trying to play on their emotions to do his so-called doctoring.
And where did he do this from? What was his location?
He was located in Rochester, Michigan, and he had not only an office there, but he had offices in Clarkston, Michigan. He was opening one in Oak Park, and he also would open up his own pharmacy inside his largest office in Rochester Hills, and he was trying to get a monopoly on his patients to where they would have to come there and get the treatments and their drugs from him only, so they wouldn't have to go to any local pharmacy like a CVS or a Rite Aid. They would just go right to him for their medication. So he was really trying to make himself insulated and be like a one-stop shop for people who were suffering from different kinds of illnesses, cancer, or some people didn't have cancer, and others that had low iron levels and needed other kinds of treatment.
A lot of this he billed to Medicare, and what did that all amount to in the end?
Yes, he billed Medicare for, I'm going to back up. A number of his patients were Medicare patients, and he billed them for an astronomical amount of money. It was the final billing toward Medicare, which wasn't used to prosecute him with, but he had billed them for approximately like over $225 million, but he was not paid that much. He was paid $91 million from Medicare when we first started the investigation. In the end, we were able to determine through our investigation that about $34 million was billed for fraudulently, and that is the basis for the criminal conviction and the charges that we had in the end and that he pled guilty to, and the plea agreement with the government at the end of the case.
And how did this all come to light?
This all came to light through what's called a QI-TAM relator, which in layman's terms is a whistleblower who worked inside the office, who had gained that he was not a medical professional, but he had gained information from the medical professionals inside the office, the nurses and one doctor who he had had conversations with, because he was seeing things and hearing things in passing that didn't make sense to him. And so what he wanted to do was figure out what is going on here. So he had a conversation with one of the doctors in Fatah's practice, and was able to figure out that he was diagnosing people and treating them for cancer when they never had it. There was one specific instance where a lady did not have cancer at all, and the only reason that this case came to light really was because the doctor who worked with Fatah in his practice, he didn't work on his patients or anything, but was rounding in the hospital while Fatah was out of town. And he rounded on a patient in the hospital, and he said, ma'am, he was looking at her chart and said, ma'am, have you been diagnosed with cancer? And she said, yes, what Dr. Fatah said. And the doctor said, you don't have cancer, so you need to run and never come back to this doctor. And it was that instance in that hospital that flipped a switch for him to have this conversation with the whistleblower, and the whistleblower brought it to our attention. And that's how it all got started.
We're speaking with Brian Drake, a special agent on the FBI's Dr. Fatah investigative team. You then swung into action with also Medicare coming in to help too?
Yes. When the whistleblower came to provide us the information, we had a roundtable of the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Eastern District of Michigan. We had the Department of Justice Medicare Strike Force, which includes DOJ attorneys, the FBI, and United States Department of Health and Human Services, Office of Inspector General. And later on, after the investigation started, we added on the Internal Revenue Service to help us with the financial portion of the investigation. But it was those groups that came together and listened to the whistleblower and started to move immediately upon learning of these allegations, which was, we had never heard of these allegations before in any type of case. So we were, all our jaws were on the floor, and we knew we had to spring into action to protect these patients because the enormity of the patient harm was nothing like we had ever seen before in this country, in a healthcare fraud investigation or any other type of investigation for that matter.
Now, was Fatah actually an MD in the first place?
He was an MD, yes. He was an MD who was trained and got his medical degree in Lebanon, and then he came to the United States and trained at Memorial Sloan Kettering, because every foreign doctor has to come here and do a residency and get signed off by an American hospital system before they can go into private practice or practice on their own. And he did that, and then once he got the sign-off from Memorial Sloan Kettering, then he moved into his own private practice. And that's how we started Michigan Hematology Oncology, which is the company that we took down.
And what was involved in coming to the facts that you could convict him with? What kind of forensics and so forth did you all have to do?
Well, and interestingly enough, there was no real sensitive or specialized technique. This was old-fashioned police work, where we got the information on a tip. We went out and did a number of interviews, and then we did search warrants, subpoenas for records, financial and medical records, and just went through them line by line, page by page. And there were thousands of pages, hundreds of thousands of pages to go through because he was operating with a patient population of 1,700 patients when we took him down, active patients. But he had a patient population from the time he started Michigan Hematology to the time we took him down of 16,000 patients. So we had to do a lot of new and innovative things to make sure that these patients could get their records and we could review them. We could get them to second opinion doctors. We could get them to our expert witnesses in this case. So there was a lot of things that we had never done before that we made up on the fly because we had no other way to go about it so that we could get our job done in this case. And I got to say that one of the things that we developed was a system of copying patient files and getting them to patients and their doctors in a very short period of time, like within a couple hours to 24 hours. Sometimes it took a day or two, but we were able to get them very quickly to the patients because these are patients that really needed care because they were in the middle of what they thought was needed chemotherapy treatment. So if you interrupt somebody in the middle of their chemotherapy treatment, they're, a lot of them freaked out, and they really wanted to go to another doctor to continue their treatment. But when they went to their second opinion doctor, many of them found out that they never had cancer, and they never needed any of the treatment that they were getting. And so it was a very enlightening thing for them and a life-changing situation for them, very emotional for them. And we ended up getting many of our counts in the case from those folks who went to those second opinions right away, and they came to us. The patients came to us. The doctors came to us and said, this is the most egregious thing I have ever seen. This patient did not have cancer. These are the reasons why they did not have cancer. Here's the test. I do not see any evidence that supports any of the treatment that Dr. Fatah was giving. And so we were able to use that information from the second opinion to move our case forward.
And what happened in the end? What was the disposition of the case in court?
The disposition of the case in court was he was sentenced to 45 years in prison. We were looking for 175 years because that would have been the max, but he received 45 years from the judge. And at the time that he was sentenced, he was 50 years old, so he's looking at 95. But with good behavior in the federal system, he can give out at about 86 or 87 years old.
There was
a restitution portion to this where patients can come and claim a their medical expenses and things like that so that they can make themselves semi-whole again with some of the money that was paid for unnecessary services. But I do want to make one thing known to everyone. The patients in this case, the victims in this case, did something that I've never seen before, and I don't think we've ever seen it across the country, where in the state of Michigan, the law was that if you harmed a patient as a doctor, if you're convicted and you get out of jail, you can come back and be a practicing doctor again and get your license back. The only time that you would have your license taken away if you harmed patients is if you raped the patient, which was something that these victims thought, if Fada can get out of jail, he'll be able to practice again. Because he didn't rape the patients, he harmed the patients with giving them chemotherapy and other treatments that they never needed. So they went to the legislature in the state of Michigan and said, this law needs to be changed. And the legislators all agreed, and they got the law changed in Michigan so that if a doctor is convicted of patient harm, he cannot get his license back at all for the rest of his life in the state of Michigan. I thought was a fantastic thing.
Were there any clues or procedures that might be able to help Medicare discover these things before they happen as a result of what you were able to uncover?
Yes, this is something that we had never seen before. It never crossed our mind as investigators, or even I don't think Medicare, when they review Medicare data, it's not something they were looking for because they didn't think that this was a possibility. They didn't think a doctor would do this type of thing. And so they weren't looking for it at the time. We're looking for it now. I'll absolutely tell you that. We're looking for it now. And there are cases that have come up across the country that I wouldn't say they're the same as this, but because of this case, they've looked at those doctors and those investigations a little bit closer to make sure that there is not another FATA out there. So they have checks and balances in place now where if they're looking at an oncologist, they will make sure that they check the data a little bit closer so that we don't repeat what happened in this case.
Brian Drake is a special agent on the FBI's investigation team, and he's also a finalist in this year's Service to America medals. Congratulations, and thanks so much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being here.
Find a link to more information and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.